Hello. Welcome to Wombats and Music. This is your host, Harry Baya. I bring you Wombats and Music Monday nights at 7 and Saturdays at 1 from WEHC FM 90.7, your college and community station at Emory and Henry College. It's my chance each week to play for you songs I love or to bring in something different, a story, a recording, a joke, or a co-host. And I call those different things Wombats. And tonight's a wombat night. I have a co-host, who I'll be introducing shortly. It's also the spring fundraiser here at WEHC. And so I want to encourage you to contribute. We are somewhat dependent on getting contributions. We are not fully funded by the college. And so your contributions help keep us alive. And you can call us anytime, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday at 276-944-6540 to make a gift. That's 276-944-6540. Or you can go online anytime at www.wehcfm.com and click the button that says Make a Gift. So now we're ready to start the show, and I'm going to introduce my host, Paul Blaney. Paul was actually my boss here at Emory and Henry when I worked here. So, Paul, say hello and tell the people a little bit how you happen to end up in this part of the world.
Well, I've been here for 20 years. It's almost 20 years. It was in the spring of 2000 that I interviewed for the deanship of Emory and Henry College and served that role from late 2000 through 2005. And then for another 9 years, I was a faculty member in the Department of Psychology, then retired from there in May of 2014.
And you live in Abingdon?
That's right.
And now, the other area that has interested me since I've known you is even though I see you as a professional academic and administrator, you have quite a background in music. You want to fill us in on how you got into music and what you've done that sort of is relevant to your awareness and knowledge of music?
Right. When I taught at Emory, it was not in the music department. It was in psychology. But when I was an undergraduate, I had a minor in music. I took a course in a year-long course in music history. I took organ lessons for a couple of years. I also worked my way through college and graduate school as a church organist and retired from that in 1971. But then in, 2010, I became a church organist again, from which I retired a couple of years ago. I guess it was in 2018. So my two retirements as a church organist were in 1971 and 2018. Basically, being a church organist bracketed my regular professional career when I was a graduate student and then when retirement was on the horizon. I also have been involved in organizing concerts some, and then since retiring from Emory, I've taught a few courses in essentially music history, music appreciation at the College for Older Adults in Abingdon.
Well, in addition to the choir, you did choir work too. You directed voices, right? Is that correct?
Some. Yes, right. Mainly when I've done it, it's been just from the organ, but there were a few years where I was also directing the choir from the organ.
Yeah. And so before we start with our first song, tell us a little bit about what guided you in your selection criteria. What is your inspiration for the show? What's your guideline?
Well, the inspiration for this was the realization that there were a few pieces that I really loved, recordings that I really loved, that were characterized by what I would describe as, these are vocal pieces, ensemble, vocal ensemble, choir, small group, whatever. They were characterized by intense blend. In other words, these people really managed to achieve a level of ensemble singing, which went way beyond what you usually think of as ensemble singing. They had a level of blend. And I realized that I had several pieces in mind of very different times and very different genres that had that quality, and that if I added some others that had that quality, it might be an interesting program. So here we are.
Good. Well, we'll talk about it as it goes along. I do want to comment that for my regular listeners, This is a fairly highbrow, most of it. Although there are some popular groups like the Pointer Sisters who are in here. But most of this is a different level of music than I usually play.
Is that a trigger warning?
Yeah. <that's laughs> Well, what do they call that when you give away part of the show before it happens?
Right.
Okay, so if you want to introduce the first song, we'll go right in.
Okay, here the composer is Monteverdi, who was a late Renaissance, early Baroque composer. He probably composed this, as far as I can tell, sometime around 1630, maybe earlier, maybe a little later, but in the early 1600s. And part of it is, the reason this is here is that is because of this particular recording, not because of the music itself. I've heard various recordings, and most of them I would have not thought to include in today's program. But this recording is very special. It's probably, the recording itself probably dates to the 1930s. The person who put it together is a woman named Nadia Boulanger, who was probably the most important French musical figure, certainly the most important French most important woman in French music during that era, and in some ways the most important figure because she was also a very important music teacher or composition teacher. Anyway, she put this together, and you'll hear some static on it because it is an old recording. And I should read to you the English. So this will be the true Wombat because this is a piece of English. This is an English or English translation of an Italian sonnet composed in the 1400s. That might be a first in this program, right?
Yeah, it takes us back a little earlier than I've been.
Right, and it seems to be a poem, written by a lovelorn man, as so many poems are. So here it is, a translation by Anthony S. Klein, and the poet is Petrarch. Now that the sky and the earth and the wind are silent, and the wild creatures and the birds are reined in sleep, night leads its starry chariot in its round, and the sea without a wave lies in its bed. I look, think, burn, weep, and she who destroys me is always before my eyes to my sweet distress. War is my state, filled with grief and anger. And only in thinking of her do I find peace. So from one pure living fountain flow the sweet and the bitter, which I drink. One hand alone heals me and pierces me. And so that my ordeal may not reach haven, I am born and die 1,000 times a day. I am so far from my salvation. And here's Monteverdi's version.
Yeah.
So that music, as I say, was composed in the early 1600s by Claudio Monteverdi. In terms of the performance and the blend, what's striking about it is that the piece is not at all rhythmic. Most of the time, there's no sense of a beat. It's almost as if it's spoken. And to be able to keep that sense of the group being totally together in the absence of a beat is quite remarkable. And a lot of the music we have later on, maybe everything, almost everything later on, there's a really strong beat that keeps the singers together. And that last one, they were just being good.
I didn't notice that myself. I mean, I could feel it, especially at the end. The dun, 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 there was a little pulse, but
right. But it was occasionally it came through. But even then, there wasn't anything to set the pulse. It was just they had to come in with the pulse.
Yeah. Well, so what's next on your
list? Well, we'll go to another a century later. Monteverdi was composing in the early 1600s. Johann Sebastian Bach was composing in the early 1700s. One of his most important works is called the Magnificat, which is on the biblical words, "My soul doth magnify the Lord," as spoken by Mary. And this is from that particular text. The Magnificat is a piece that, I don't know, it's 20 or 30 minutes long, and this is just a very short piece that is very unusual in that it's three voices and an instrument or two. It's very slow. These voices are not singing particularly in harmony, but one of the things that Bach had a great ability to do was to be able to compose in ways where the voices were somewhat independent of one another, but still it came together. And this was sort of an extreme version of this. This is known as Sus Chepit Israel from the Bach Magnificat.
Listening to it, I did notice that you can hear the female voice very clearly rising up above everybody else. A lot of the other pieces, they're all in harmony, and it's hard to distinguish the voices. But here you can hear the separate voices very clearly.
Yes, you can. These are all treble voices. As it happens, two of them are women.
And, two of them, oh, okay.
And one is a countertenor singing within what might be thought of as the alto range.
Huh.
But it's a man singing high. So that performance, by the way, was posted on YouTube by the Netherlands Bach Society under the rubric All of Bach. And this particular group is aiming to post excellent, with good video as well, excellent performances of everything that Bach ever composed or is known to have composed. And that's, you know, that's the excerpt from their posting of the Bach Magnificat. Anytime you want to listen to any Bach, you can always count on the Netherlands Bach Society to have done it well.
Well, Paul, I know you've are you still teaching the course right now?
Or? It just wound down.
Just wound up teaching on Bach. Yeah. You say everything he did. Hundreds, right?
Well, the actual Bach catalog numbers works over 1,000.
Over 1,000.
And there clearly are a lot missing. I mean, we have a mention of things that he did that we don't know about, we don't have copies of. So he was a very busy man.
Was he like, was it Mozart? Did Bach start composing fairly early in his life?
Well, we don't really know, but it seems not. I mean, when you think of somebody like Mozart, he was clearly a prodigy, or Mendelssohn. I mean, some of Mendelssohn's remarkably best compositions were when he was still a teenager. And then Handel, who was Bach's contemporary, did some stunning composing when he was like in his early 20s. You don't think of Bach's trajectory that way. You think of it as being a more normal development.
Interesting. Paul, tell us about the next piece. I watched the video on YouTube. That was kind of a unique experience.
Well, that's a part of the reason I chose this. If you go to YouTube and look up music with Matthew Curtis, C-U-R-T-I-S, you will often find that his performances are choral works where he sings all of the parts. And where what you see on the screen are boxes, you know, which show him with his earphones on in the studio singing each of the parts at the same time. And this is one of them. This is by Charles Villiers Stanford. It's a secular anthem called The Bluebird. And composed, I don't know, sometime around 1900. Many people will have heard it. If they have, it's probably because it's often used as sort of a competition piece for high school choir festivals, that kind of thing. So it shows up in the American repertoire in that odd little niche. But, you know, my idea, of course, with this course is – with this class – not class. My idea with this show is to have voices that blend. And here the guy's blending with himself. He's singing all the voices together.
Let me ask a question. They looked to me like there were 6 or 8 boxes on there.
Yeah.
I mean, are there 6 or 8 parts at times?
Yeah.
And, well, obviously, I mean, a major chord has 4 notes, and you don't want to get too far away from that. So some parts are singing the same thing in a different range. Is that what's happening?
Oh, you can have more complex harmonies than four
okay.
notes at a time.
Okay. Yeah. I live in a simple world where 4 is, all we use. All right. So, again, this is The Bluebird, sung by Matthew Curtis.
Below.
So again, that was just one person singing, overdubbing himself. And he obviously had an enormous range, a great countertenor. Of course, it's easier to sing a broad range when you're doing it into a microphone and you don't have to generate a lot of power within any particular range. So moving on, we turn to the group Ladysmith Black Mambazo, South African group that if people know them, it may be because they performed with Paul Simon on his album Graceland, on a number of the songs there. But they also had, obviously, a very strong career. Their lead guy, by the way, just died within the past 2 or 3 weeks. And this is the piece that I first heard them sing. And I had no idea who they were, and I heard it, and all I could think was, where is that coming from? And it's because of the remarkable blend that they have. I think it first may have appeared in a very short version on an advertisement on television. Rain, Rain, Beautiful Rain by Ladysmith Black Mambazo.
I've played them on the show a bit, a couple times just them, but usually with Paul Simon. And I love the bass voices. Of course, I'm a bass, so I really get a kick out of that. But also, for me, is the rhythms. They, especially with Paul Simon, they're doing some really strange things compared to our normal thing. And Paul Simon recognized that, and he really kind of made them famous. I mean, they were local in South Africa, I think.
Well, they were pretty famous in South Africa. These were, you know, those days of apartheid, so their ability to function as, you know, a full-range musicians was limited. And, you know, when Paul Simon went over there, he was pushing the envelope with regard to their access to the world.
Yeah, and they became internationally famous and toured. And okay, so this is Rain, Rain, Beautiful Rain.
For rain, for rain, for rain, for rain, beautiful rain. Don't disturb me, beautiful rain. Oh, come, never come. Oh, come, never come. Oh, come to me, beautiful rain. Oh, come, never come. Oh, come, never come. Oh, come to me, beautiful rain. Rain, 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 beautiful rain. Rain, 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 beautiful rain. Oh, come, never come. Oh, come, never come. Oh, come to me, beautiful rain. When the sun says goodnight to the mountain, I am dreaming of the sun said goodnight. When the sun says goodnight to the mountain, I am dreaming of the sun said goodnight. When the sun goes down, the birds on the trees are singing sweet for the night. When the sun says goodnight to the mountain, I am dreaming of the sun said goodnight. When the sun goes down, the birds on the trees are singing sweet for the night. When the sun says goodnight to the mountain, I am dreaming of the sun said goodnight. When the sun goes down, the birds on the trees are singing sweet for the night. When the sun says goodnight to the mountain, I am dreaming of the sun say goodnight. Rain, 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 beautiful rain. Rain, 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 beautiful rain. Oh, come, never come. Oh, come to me, beautiful rain.
Wow. So again, in this situation, there's not a lot of rhythm involved. I mean, they impose their own rhythm, but there's no drum set there. When they sang with Paul Simon, they had a very strong, you know, rhythm section keeping everybody together. But these guys are together because they are together. You know, it you know, almost feels some of the time as if they're breathing. They're singing all from the same lung, you know, because they are so much involved in singing together.
Well, you're noticing something in the ensemble. They're talking about their, I guess I'd call it almost precision of coming in at the same instant and rising at the same way.
Yeah.
Was conscious when you talk about. I'm more aware of what I call balance.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's appropriate to have one of the voices or even two of them rising up and dominating. Other times it's appropriate to have them. So you can really. I have a hard time hearing the separate voices. It's like an instrument that plays multiple sounds. You know?
Right. Exactly.
And they certainly do that at times. It's like one voice but a very rich, varied voice. Beautiful stuff. Well, it's time to take a station break and tell you who we are. You're listening to Wombats and Music, and I'm your host, Harry Baya. My co-host tonight is Paul Blaney, and tonight is part of the spring fundraiser for WEHC. So I want to remind you that if you can contribute to us, and we need it, it keeps the show alive. And I'll tell you a little about what we're doing. We're looking forward to our future as we serve five counties and a growing number of listeners with a 9,000-watt station that is entirely powered by solar energy. And when you drive out to Emory, you can look on the hill and see those big solar panels up by where the antenna is. WEHC is committed to serving the people of Southwest Virginia, not just through its coverage area, but through its ever-popular online stream and through its growing use of podcasts. And if you want to contribute, 8 to 5... on Monday through Friday, call 276-944-6540, 276-944-6540, or anytime you can go online at WEHCFM.com and click the button that says Make a Gift, and we'd appreciate your contribution to keep us doing what we love to do. And now, back to you, Paul. You're ready to go on for the latter part of the show. What do you got?
Yeah, we're going to jump several decades, and the next thing we'll hear is Crosby, Stills, and Nash. There are lots of things that they, or with sometimes Neil Young, that they've done, which are great examples of real harmony and singing in total accord with one another. Often they are driven by a beat, but sometimes the beats are complex, and you have to be amazed that they all stay on that same rhythmic sequence. This is the suite from Judy Blue Eyes. We may not have time to do the whole thing, but we'll certainly get a sample of it.
Okay. Well, you can tell me when you want to cut off.
Yeah.
I read Graham Nash, or listened actually, to Graham Nash's autobiography, and he talks a lot about this group.
Yeah, I said Neil Nash. No, I said Neil Young. It's Graham Nash. That you got it right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he mentions that they just, when they met, they just blended. They just naturally knew that they belonged to sing together. And quite often, they didn't do any planning.
Yeah.
They would just sing it.
Yeah.
And people would be picking up the parts on the fly, which is quite different from my experience of singing harmony. I almost need to be taught. Phyllis sings natural harmony, but they all three, and they said who would take the lead or not, they would just let go and trade it off. They were very dynamic in their work. And Graham Nash seemed to be the sanest of the three. They all were a bit crazy wild by rock musician type thing people. I'm interested. I have my vicarious life is to read about successful musicians, singers mainly, and I'd love to have been a backup singer. That's what I wanted to do. I want to stand behind someone like these guys and sing the other harmony stuff.
Do up.
Yeah, or anything, just blend in. So this is Judy Blue Eyes.
It's getting to the point where I'm no fun anymore.
I am sorry.
Sometimes it hurts so badly I must cry out loud.
I am lonely.
I am yours, you are mine, you are what you are.
Give back it
hard. Remember what we've said and done and felt about each other.
Oh, babe, have mercy.
Don't let the past remind us of what we are not now.
I am not dreaming.
I am yours, you are mine, you are what you are.
You make it hard.
Tearing yourself away from me now, you are free, and I am crying. This does not mean I don't love you, I do, that's forever, yes, and for always.
I am yours, you are mine, you are what you are.
You make it hard.
Something inside is telling me that I've got your secret.
Are you still listening?
Fear is the lock and laughter the key to your heart.
And I love you.
I am yours, you are mine, you are what you are.
You make it hard, and you make it hard, and you make it hard, and you make it hard.
Also, that's a good example of the natural blend that you were talking about. They just seem like they're meant to sing together. And the same is the case with the next group, which is the Pointer Sisters. And they have, you know, there's more reason to think that they would, and that is that they probably had been singing together all of their lives. They indeed are sisters. A lot of groups that are called the This Brothers or the That Sisters or whatever that aren't. But these ladies are sisters. And this is from the same era, 1973. Yes, we can.
I have played the Pointer Sisters on the show before, not this particular song. And one thing I notice about them and often a lot of the groups is the arrangements, the instrumentals, the backups. And I wonder, often that's what makes the group as good as they are. And then you think, well, then it's not the singers. Well, then they're the ones who get to choose who's going to do their backup. And they clearly influence the choices. So when I listen to something like this, I think it's not only them singing, it's also their choice of who did the arrangement for them.
That's true. But I mean, the way that these ladies stay together with really, really complex, you know, rhythms that have a lot of surprises to them, you know, that's them that does it.
Yeah. But there's a lot going on behind them.
Oh,
here.
Yeah.
Okay. Pointer Sisters.
Thank you. for the future of the little bitty boys and girls. We got to
make this land a better land than the world in which we live.
We gotta help each man be a better man with the kindness that we give.
I know we can make it.
I know that we can.
So the next one we're going to hear is not Billy Joel singing. It's a Billy Joel song. It's actually sung very much the way Billy Joel sang it, except in this case it's by five singers called the King Singers, five men. And they are noted for their remarkable blend, their remarkable ensemble. And basically, I chose this one because it's a great song, and it's a song that really captures, or really displays, I should say, the great ensemble singing of the King Singers. And so it goes.
So he's not one of those guys in the tuxedos in the video.
Okay.
In every heart there is a room, a sanctuary safe and strong, to heal the wounds from lovers past, until a new one comes along. I spoke to you cautious tones, you answered me with no pretense, and still I feel I said too much. My silence is my self-defense,
and every time I've held a rose, it seems I only felt the thorns. And so it goes, and so it goes, and so will you soon, I suppose.
But if my silence made you leave, then that would be my worst mistake. So I will share this room with you, and you can have this heart to break.
And this is why my eyes are closed. It's just as well for all I've seen. And so it goes, and so it goes, and you're the only one who knows.
So I will choose to be with you, that's if the choice were mine to make. But you can make decisions too.
I wasn't particularly planning when I put this together to make sure I had a good distribution of male groups and female groups, but it sort of worked out that way. And the next one is the Dixie Chicks. I have to confess that I usually have no interest in country music at all, zero. And these people came to my awareness back in the early 2000s when they got into big trouble for letting it be known that they were not in favor of the Iraq War. And people like myself, who were also not in favor of the Iraq War, took pity upon them and bought their albums as a measure of support, because they were getting blacklisted all over the place. And so here I had this album. Actually, a friend gave it to me, sort of with that feeling in mind. And so I started to play it, and I got totally hooked on their singing. Now, they tend to have long solo parts, but then when they get together, they are really together.
I don't know if you're familiar with the Stevie Nicks version of this song. She wrote the song, and it was part of her blues period. And I've played that in the show many times. But about a year ago, I ran into the Dixie Chicks version. Mm-hmm. And it really was a revelation for me, because I liked the other one better. But then I realized that's not the criteria here. Of course, I like some songs better than others. The question is, do I like this one? And the answer is yes. I really felt they did a beautiful job on this song in their own way. They did not mimic. It was not a copy. So anyway, I've played this before, but it's been probably about a year since I've played this particular song. So Dixie Chicks, Landslide.
Down.
I don't know if you noticed, but in some cases, the line would begin with just the solo singer, and it would finish off with all three of them. And the transition from one to three was totally seamless. I mean, it really felt almost as if it was still one person who managed somehow to divide her voice into three parts that she was singing at the same time. That's how together they are. And that's
I didn't notice that. When I listen again, I will listen carefully.
Okay, we'll take quite a jump now from the Dixie Chicks to a group called Chanticleer. Most of what we've been listening to, even though it does have a choral quality, is not religious. I mean, of all of the things that I've played, only the Bach piece was on a religious text. This last one, though, is also on a religious text. It's the Ave Maria text from the Bible. And the composer is Bebel, a German composer. The group, though, Chanticleer, I believe they formed in the 1980s and have been going strong with changes of personnel ever since then. They are a group of 12 men, and they sing all of the parts from high soprano on down, so they have countertenors and so on. They actually performed in Kingsport about a month ago. I went to the concert, and they're wonderful. And the quality of blend shows up nowhere more than at the end of a piece, if they end quietly. You know, here you have these 12 voices fading out, and it's as if it's a single dial which is turning them down because they just fade into nothingness in total ensemble, keeping the balanced harmony until the last minute. This is, or at least it was, one of their signature songs. It's this German setting, modern German setting of the Ave Maria text. And it's set basically in the sense, it sort of has the quality of some sort of plain song, that is to say, music from the Middle Ages, onto which is then imposed some relatively modern harmonies. It's a slow meditative piece, but it really shows off their ability to sing together. Be able to hear that much of it. We had to fade out again. When the music was on there, Harry and I were talking about the fact that all of these things are on YouTube, and it's a lot of fun to listen to this music when you can see the people actually performing. And that's even the case when you just have 12 guys like that standing up there singing in front of a crowd. You know, it makes for a live experience, and it's wonderful.
Yeah. Every one of them I watched on YouTube. And it's time to end the show, and I want to remind you that it's fundraiser week at Emory & Henry at WEHC. You can call in for pledges 8 to 5, Monday to Friday, 276-944-6540, or you can go online anytime, WEHCFM.com, and make your pledge. And now it's time to ask you, as I do each week. Paul, first, thank you for joining me in the show.
Thank you for inviting me.
And I hope you will all join me in celebrating most joyously our being here at all. Goodbye.